Before Moses is born, a Pharaoh, unaware of the reputation of Joseph and his relatives living in the land of Goshen, takes the throne. By this time, the large Israelite nation strikes fear in the new Pharaoh's heart, who thinks they will overthrow him. He puts them to work building cities with mud bricks. His plan strikes dread in the family of Israel. He thinks he will shrink their number. Instead, they multiply even faster than expected. In fear, Pharaoh orders the midwives to kill the baby boys that they deliver. When the number of boys continues to grow, Pharaoh calls for the midwives to explain their failure. "The women are having their babies themselves," they reply. So Pharaoh commands that every baby boy be thrown into the Nile. In 1555 BC, Moses is born and his mother hides him for 3 months. And when she cannot hide him any longer, she takes a basket, covers it with tar, puts Moses in it, and hides it in the reeds of the Nile. Miriam, Moses' sister, watches the basket to see what will happen to her baby brother. When the daughter of Pharaoh comes down to bathe in the Nile, she finds Moses, and having pity, she decides to care for him. Miriam steps up and says, "Do you need a nurse who can feed the baby?" And of course, Pharaoh's daughter says, "Yes." So Miriam runs home and she gets Moses' mother to be the caregiver. Pharaoh's daughter pays for all his needs, and she names him Moses because he's been drawn from the water. 40 years later, in 1515 BC, Moses goes out to see the work of the Israelites, also called the Hebrews, and he discovers an Egyptian beating a Hebrew man. Moses kills the Egyptian and buries him in the sand. The next day, two Hebrew men are fighting, and Moses breaks up the fight. They ask Moses, "Are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" Well, Moses is stunned. And when Pharaoh hears that Moses has killed another Egyptian, he tries to kill Moses. So Moses gathers up his stuff and he flees to the land of Midian. Midian was the third son of Abraham by Keturah. There Moses will meet up with Jethro, a Midianite priest, and marry his daughter Zipporah, and they will have a son who they will name Gershom. 35 years later, the Pharaoh who tried to kill Moses has died, and another has taken his place. And at the same time, the family of Israel begs for relief and help from God. One day, while tending the flocks of Jethro, Moses sees a bush burning that is not being consumed by the fire. From the fire, the Lord speaks to Moses and tells him, "Remove your sandals because you're on holy ground." He tells Moses, "I want you to go back to Egypt and I want you to bring the Israelites, my people, out of bondage and bring them back to the promised land." So Moses asks, "Well, what if Pharaoh will not let them go?" He says, "You go get them and you bring them back to this mountain." "Well, who will I say sent me?" Moses asks. And he says, "Tell them, I am has sent you." "Well, what if they will not listen to me?" The Lord tells Moses, "Throw down your rod." And when Moses throws down his rod, it turns into a snake. Then the Lord says to Moses, "I want you to pick up that snake." And when he does, it turns back into a rod. So the Lord says, "Put your hand into your shirt." And Moses does. And when he brings it back out, it's withered. The Lord says, "Place it back into your shirt." And when he brings it out, it's totally healed and restored. The Lord tells Moses that he will perform many signs and Pharaoh will not believe him until the very last sign. So there on the mountain, the Lord tells Moses everything he will need to know and the things that he will need to do when he returns to Egypt. Now back at home, he tells Jethro the Lord's instructions and they all pack up and they move to Egypt. On the journey, the Lord speaks to Moses about the final sign that will happen in Egypt. Now since Israel is the Lord's firstborn, if Pharaoh will not let him go, he will kill Pharaoh's firstborn. Zipporah hears the Lord talking to Moses, and she knows about the covenant with Abraham, and they have not circumcised their son Gershom yet. So in fear that the Lord will kill him, she circumcises him and reminds Moses of the covenant. Well, in Egypt, Moses and Aaron and all the elders will meet. Moses and Aaron make their first visit to Pharaoh to ask him to let their people go into the wilderness to worship. And Pharaoh says, "I do not know this Lord," and he refuses to let them go. Pharaoh accuses Moses and Aaron of drawing the people away from their work, so he decides to make it harder for them by commanding the taskmasters to stop providing the straw for the bricks that they are making. The taskmasters do as Pharaoh instructs, but the Israelites struggle to meet the quota of bricks for each day. And when they cannot meet the quota, the taskmaster beats them. The supervisors of Israel come and they complain to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh says to him, "You are just lazy people." On the way out of the palace, they meet Moses and Aaron, and there they complain. And they say, "Ever since you showed up, the Pharaoh has harmed the people." Well, Moses cries out to the Lord, and the Lord comforts Moses and sends him back to Pharaoh. The Lord says, "Pharaoh will not let the people go, so a series of plagues are going to be brought on Egypt, and you will announce each one before it happens." Moses and Aaron are ready to go to Pharaoh and request the release of the people again. The next morning, Moses and Aaron visit Pharaoh. As a sign of the power of the Lord, Moses throws Aaron's staff on the ground, and it turns into a serpent. But the Pharaoh's magicians, they're ready for Moses. They throw their staffs down, and they turn to serpents too. However, Aaron's serpent eats all the magician's serpent. Moses tells Pharaoh about the first plague. The water of the Nile will turn to blood, turning foul, and all the fish will die. So Moses stretches out his hands over the Nile, and it turns to blood. The Pharaoh's magicians do the same with their secret arts, and Pharaoh will not let the people go. 7 days later, Moses announces the plague of frogs. When it happens, the frogs are in the bedroom and in the houses and in the ovens, and they're in the mixing bowls. However, Pharaoh's magicians do the same, and Pharaoh will not allow the people to go. Next comes the plague of the gnats, and the magicians cannot duplicate this pest. Nevertheless, Pharaoh still will not let the people go. The fourth plague comes, and it's fleas. Pharaoh calls for Moses to get rid of them because they are everywhere. So Moses prays, and the Lord removes the fleas, but Pharaoh will still not let the people go. Therefore, the Lord sends a pestilence on all the livestock, and they begin to die. However, the livestock of Israel are not affected by this pestilence. Pharaoh still will not let them go. Because Pharaoh will not let the people go, the Lord tells Moses to take a handful of soot from the fire and throw it into the air. The soot becomes this dust and begins to cover over all of Egypt. When the dust lands on the Egyptians, they break out in sores. Everyone except the Israelites, and Pharaoh will still not let the people go. The seventh plague comes, and it's the plague of hail, and once again Pharaoh begs Moses to remove it. However, Pharaoh still refuses to let the people go. The plague of locust follows the hail, and Pharaoh refuses to let the people go. The ninth plague comes, and darkness is part of it, and it covers all of Egypt. And after 3 days, Pharaoh calls for Moses to curse him. "If you ever see my face again, you will die," he says to Moses. The Lord tells Moses there will be one more plague, the death of the firstborn of Egypt. Here's what the Lord told Moses. "Instruct Israel to take an unblemished lamb on the 10th day of the month, and keep it safe until the 14th of the month. At twilight on the 14th, kill the lamb and roast it, but take the blood and paint the door frames of each Israelite house. Eat the meal with a bitter herb salad and unleavened bread. The blood on the doorpost is a sign to the death angel, and he will pass over the house that night and not kill the firstborn. If any food is left until morning, it is to be burned." And so the Israelites do as the Lord instructs. After dark on the 14th of the month, the Israelites sit down to eat their meal as the death angel enters Egypt and kills the firstborn of every family, including their herds. However, the death angel passes over the houses of the Israelites who have the blood on their front doorpost. On the morning of the 15th, Pharaoh tells Moses, "Go with your people, your cattle, and your possessions." And that morning Israel departs from Egypt, 430 years to the day that Jacob moved them there. There are 600,000 footmen besides the wives and children. They cook the bread for the journey before it has time to rise, and into the wilderness they go. Now the Lord does not allow Moses to take them by the north way, by the Mediterranean Sea, because they might want to return to Egypt when they face the Canaanites in the new land. Instead, the Lord sends them to the wilderness of the Red Sea. And as they go, they have not forgotten to carry the mummy of Joseph, whom they plan to bury in the cave of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob one day. A cloud leads them by day, and a pillar of fire leads them by night. And while camped by the sea, Pharaoh changes his mind and takes 600 select charioteers to capture the Israelites and bring them back to Egypt. The people are fearful when they see Pharaoh coming. The pillar of fire moves over between them and the Egyptians, and the people complain that they are hemmed in between the fire and the sea. Moses stretches out his hands over the sea, and the wind begins to blow and the water begins to part, creating a dry path to cross over. By daybreak, all the Israelites have crossed, and the Lord removes the pillar of fire, which is holding back the Egyptians. The Egyptians follow, but when they are in the midst of the sea, the Lord removes the winds, and the water drowns all the army of Pharaoh. When the Israelites see the power of the Lord, they finally believe. With the destruction of the Egyptian army and the Israelites' newfound faith and belief in God, Moses and Aaron break into song proclaiming the power of God. Miriam, Moses' sister, takes a tambourine and sings a wonderful song to the Lord, saying, "The horse and the rider, he has thrown them into the sea." They travel from the sea to the waters of Marah to camp. But the waters are bitter, and the people complain that they have nothing to drink. Moses throws a tree into the water, and it becomes fresh and sweet. From Marah, they travel on to Elim, where they find 12 springs and 70 date palm trees, and there they camp for a while. 2 months and 15 days after leaving Egypt, the Israelite camp is in the wilderness of Sin. There the Lord begins to feed them with manna. It is a test to see if they will follow his instructions. They are to gather only the manna that they need for one day. If they keep it overnight, it will spoil. However, on the sixth day, they are to collect enough for the seventh day also, and it will not spoil overnight. So the Lord gives manna to them to remind them of his glory. Now the people complain of not having meat, so the Lord provides quail. Now with the manna, they are happy. And they are satisfied. In fact, whether they gather enough manna for each day or whether they gather a lot or they just gather a little, it is always enough for their family. It's one of the miracles of the Lord. From the wilderness of Sin, the Israelites move in small groups to Rephidim, but there is no water there for them to drink there. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die without water? The people cry to Moses. And the Lord tells Moses to strike the rock at Horeb, so he does. And the Lord commands the people to drink the water that comes from the rock. At Rephidim, Amalek, the king of the Amalekites, comes to war against the Israelites. Moses sends Joshua to choose the men to help fight against Amalek. Moses holds up his arms during the battle, and as long as they are up, Israel prevails. And when he begins to drop his arms, then Amalek prevails. They place a stone under Moses' arms to hold him up, while Aaron and Hur hold up Moses' hands. Now Moses had left his wife Zipporah and his two boys, Gershom and Eleazar, with his father-in-law Jethro somewhere along the way as he headed into Egypt. And hearing of all that the Lord had done for Moses, Jethro brings the family to Moses into the wilderness. And although a priest of another religion, Jethro becomes a believer in the God of Moses. Watching Moses deal with the people every day prompts Jethro to suggest that Moses needs to select some judges from the people to handle most of the issues and to teach them the commands of the Lord. Therefore, Moses does as Jethro suggests. The judges will handle the daily needs and Moses will handle the big issues. Finally, on the third month and the 15th day after leaving Egypt, they arrive at the Mount of Sinai, the place where the Lord first spoke to Moses from the burning bush. There the Lord calls Moses to the mountain and tells him to set boundaries for the people. My people are to never set foot on the mountain. It is one of the boundaries placed on them. To prove the Lord's presence and his relationship with Moses, he speaks with the people from a thick cloud on the third day. And before he comes, the people are to wash themselves and their clothing to prepare for his arrival. And on that third day, Moses brings them to the foot of the mountain. The ground begins to shake, and they hear the sound of a trumpet. The Lord calls Moses to the mountain, where he tells them to go back down and bring Aaron with him. Once Moses does this, the Lord speaks to all the people the following commandments from the thick cloud. Here's what the Lord says. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. When the Lord has finished speaking, Moses says to the people, "Do not be afraid. The Lord has come to test you by allowing you to hear His commands, so you will not sin." After giving Moses the Ten Commandments, the Lord gives him further instructions for the people. He begins with the ordinances concerning how people should treat each other. He tells them what to do and how to act when someone injures another person. The Lord gives them instructions for property rights as well as marital arrangements and engagements. He teaches about the lending and borrowing of money with strangers. He forbids the lying tongue and bribes and oppressions. They may work the land for 6 years, and then it too must have a Sabbath rest for a year. They must observe 3 national feasts each year, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, of Harvest, and of Ingathering. As they conquer the land, the promised land, the Lord promises to go before them. The people must affirm the covenant with God, and He tells them what He expects them to do to show their faithfulness to Him. The Lord explains all of these things in full detail to Moses while he's up there on Mount Sinai. Moses returns to the camp, and he retells the people all the words of the Lord, and Moses builds an altar at the foot of the mountain and makes an offering. Moses also takes Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, as well as 70 elders, and they see God on the mountain. It appears to them that God is there on a sea of clear emerald sapphire, and yet God does not harm them at all, but allows them to eat and drink before Him. The Lord calls Moses up to the mountain again, and Moses leaves Aaron and Hur back in charge of the camp. When Moses enters the cloud up on Mount Sinai, there he remains for 40 days and nights while the Lord shows and instructs him how to build the sanctuary for Him. Moses takes an offering from the people of all that they brought out of Egypt, and he is to collect gold and silver and bronze and skins from rams and skins from porpoises and the goats and fine linen and purple and scarlet and oils and spices, as well as timber for the furniture. The Lord shows Moses a pattern for everything they must make, which includes the Ark of the Covenant, the table of the showbread, the golden lampstands, the curtains of linens, the curtains of goat hair, the boards and the sockets, the veil and the screen, the bronze altar, and the courts of the tabernacle, the garments of the priest, also the method of consecrating the priest and their sacrifice and food. He shows Moses how to build the altar of incense, and how to use the anointing oil and the incense. Skilled craftsmen will do the work, but they must only work 6 days of each week. They must rest on the Sabbath.